What do you think the most important scripture is in the Bible? There's lots of them, isn't there? Well, we got John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him would have everlasting life. There's a good one. Anyone else got one? You know, there's other ones. Yeah, for by grace, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace we've been saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, right? And so we got lots of good scriptures. I think of Jesus himself saying in John 14:6, I think he says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way unto the Father except for by me. So there's another one. We could come up, I'm sure everyone here has favorite scriptures that would touch their hearts and say, hey, this is the best one of all. But I believe the most important one of all is way back, and someone already shouted it out, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You see, if we didn't have that scripture, we'd have no scriptures. In other words, God in his love towards us, you need to bring that down a little. We got a little bit of a hum back here. You guys getting that out there too? Is that irritating you? Oh, you're not? Okay, then just leave it then. Okay, it was irritating me, but I guess it's a personal problem. So, amen. So Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so that's really, really important. In fact, that's the basis and foundation of our entire faith, isn't it? Is what he did back then. And I want to take a minute and just look at a portion of scripture, actually just two verses in Genesis before we move on into another area. So if you have your Bibles or your apps or however you look at God's word, if you'll go to Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Genesis 2, verses 8 and 9, says this, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so, you know, a lot of people, even whether you're a non-believer or not, usually we've read that part. You know, by the time you get into Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, you've given up. But most of us get through Genesis, and we've read this account before. And it's an interesting account. We've got the tree of life. We have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We know that in this garden, this paradise area, that Adam and Eve were placed there, and God was there with them and walked with them. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? And so here they are, and God says, look, I only got one rule for you, one commandment. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And yet we know what Adam and Eve did, and you might yell at them and be upset with them, but listen, between you and me, if they didn't do it, one of us would have, sooner or later. It's just the way it is, all right? And so there they are in the garden. Now, here's what I want you to understand. There was this tree of life. Now, if you read on just a little bit further, we're not going to read it today. God said, look it, after they sinned, they can no longer stay in the garden, lest they eat from the tree of life and live forever. So they were banned from the garden. In fact, there was an angel with a giant sword, flaming sword, to keep them from entering in from the tree of life. Now, does that mean that God didn't want us to have knowledge? Think about this a little bit. You know, if Adam and Eve had any question at all, could they have asked God about it? The answer is yes, they could have at any point. So it wasn't that God was keeping knowledge from them. But what he was doing was keeping evil knowledge from them. He was keeping knowledge apart from God from them. And that's why we as believers need to understand that we need to go to the tree of life. But you might say, whoa, hold on here. The tree of life, where it's gone now, right? You know, we had the flood come along. I don't think the angels there standing anymore, right? Everything got wiped away, remember? So that tree of life from the Garden of Eden is no longer there. But let's talk about this tree for a minute, because we see this tree shows up again. So we see it in Genesis, in the very beginning. It shows up again in the book of Revelations, way at the very end. It's like bookends to the Bible. So have a look again, if you have your Bibles or apps, however you want to go, is Revelations 22. And this is after God has cleaned house. Everything has been dealt with. You know, all evil, all sin, it's all gone, and new heavens, new earth. And God begins to say, this is how it's going to be. And here's what he says in Revelations 22, verses 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in which bore 12 fruits. And each tree, I jumped the line. Let me go back. Verse 2. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, and each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, just to go back for a minute before I comment on this, back in the Garden of Eden, that tree, it's interesting, and you can read about this, that rivers went out from the Garden of Eden and watered the entire earth. And here again, we see a picture of the tree of life here in Revelations at the end, that again, there's a river. What is that? What is this river thing? Does it mean natural water? It's speaking of the Spirit of God. It's speaking of the presence of God, that basically from the tree of life comes the presence of God. And he's showing us in Genesis that it's there. He's showing us in Revelations that it's there. And so here's this tree of life that shows up. And what is it for? It's for the healing of the nations. Now, here's the problem for you and I. We live between the trees. You got Genesis way back there. That tree's over there. We've got the tree that's going to come down from heaven, the tree of life that's going to physically be here on the earth there. And we live between the two trees, don't we? Here's a tree there. There's a tree there. Literally, we live between the trees. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, if you read in Revelations, you'll see that every tear is wiped away, that every problem is gone, every sin, every temptation. We don't have any of that to deal with anymore. Now, do we have that still today? Oh, I guess I'm the only one. Anybody else deal with temptation and sin and issues in their life? Stuff that goes wrong? How about this? It's too hot today. In heaven, it's going to be perfect temperature. And for some of you that are sun bunnies, it might be this hot. But for people like me, it's going to be a cool 65 degrees in my part of heaven. Amen? So the point is that, you know, right now between the trees, things aren't quite perfect. They're still messed up. There's still things going on. There's still sickness. There's still disease. There's feasts. You know, there's famines. There's all kinds of issues in life. Yet we're called as believers to live strong for the Lord. How do we do that? How do we function in that? Because darn it, it gets frustrating. You know, there are times you pray and God does an amazing thing. There's other times you pray and it's like, what happened? And you don't know. And so we're living between the trees. And so as I was praying and thinking about this topic and how we can address it, the best illustration I have for you is the Word of God. I want to go to a story of some individuals living between the trees like you and I and how they dealt with a situation. So again, if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Acts 3, we want to look at an account there. Just to give you a little bit of background information, you know, the church has just started, literally is maybe weeks, if maybe months old, but weeks old, you know, brand new church, and God is doing some amazing things, yet they're just like us, living between the trees. Things aren't quite right in the world. If you think about it, the Romans were still ruling over Israel, you know, so they had a foreign group, you know, overpowering them. So all kinds of bad things were happening in Israel. But isn't it amazing that Jesus did everything he needed to do, even in the midst of all that oppression? Let me tell you something before I go on. You may have some bad things happening in your life. Maybe people in your life, maybe job situations, maybe home situations, family situations. And here's what I want to tell you, that God can help you to overcome if you'll walk with Jesus. Jesus walked among the Romans. He never put them down. In fact, he helped them at different times to bring them to God. And what we need to do is not keep our focus on the obstacles, but on the one who moves the obstacles, and that's the Lord Jesus. So just looking here at Acts 3, beginning at verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So here's a situation. Peter and John, where were they going? They were going to church. They're going at the ninth hour of prayer, so that's about 3 o'clock. They would, listen, I'm not putting anybody down here, we sometimes have trouble getting to church once a week. They went 3 times a day. Just so you know, all right? Three times a day. You know, more. You know, 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 noon, and 3 o'clock every single day. That's what they did. But here they are. They go there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to church to go worship the Lord, to spend time in prayer. So they're there. And as they're going in, they see this guy. Now, they go there 3 times a day. So what does that mean? They see him every day. Every day they walk by him as they're going by. And they go into the temple. But this particular day, for whatever reason, maybe Peter and John were the only ones there. Who knows? Maybe the Holy Spirit of God maybe touched them on the shoulder and said, hey, you know, pay attention. Somehow a connection was made. And so the guy asking for alms, he's wanting money. That's what he wants. So Peter looks at him and says, hey, you. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. So the guy looks at him expecting to get some money. How does Peter answer? He says this, look, it's silver and gold. I don't have. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, I just want to talk about this for a minute. Because there were times that Peter and John had silver and gold. We know this because when Jesus was with his disciples, they had a money pouch. And they would give money to the poor at various times. We know that. Scripture says that. But at this particular time, he didn't have any money. But he gave them what he had. I want to ask you a question right now. What do you have? It's not what you don't have. We all have don't have things. We got lists probably as long as Wazoo about don't have things. But what do you have? What has God given you? And that's what Peter extended out to him, what he had. He had Jesus. And he reached out to him and brought health and healing to this man. Now, here's this man who was outside the temple. And we find when we read later, and we're not going to read today, that he was over 40 years old and he had been lame from birth. And here's this man outside the temple for probably 35 of those years, maybe a little less, but a long time. You know why he was outside? He could never go in. Because back in those days, if you were crippled or lame or blind or had any physical abnormality about you, you could not enter the temple. You were declared unclean. Do you know that some of us in the church, when I say that, church universal, still feel that way about people? That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not God's way of doing things. And I believe that that's one of the reasons why God healed this man, because as we read the account, once he's healed, where does he go? For the very first time in his life, in church. But let me tell you something, church isn't for perfect people. Church is for broken people. Church is for people who still haven't quite got it all. For people who have don't lists still, you don't have lists. God wants everyone in the church. That's God's heart. And so as you see this miracle here, it's not just about this man being touched. I believe it's a demonstration of the heart of Jesus to mankind and specifically to the church, that the people who need healing, the hurting, the broken, are to be accepted into the body of Christ, accepted into church. Why? Because that's the only place they can get help. Outside, is there any help? No, it's on the inside. And so that means that you and I need to always have a loving, caring, compassionate heart to everybody. Because between you and me, and I say this of myself, there's no one here that's perfect. Only Jesus Christ himself. We all have our issues. You know, we all have our mistakes. You know, we all have our habits and lifestyles that we're still working through. So some more than others. But does that mean we judge people based on that? No, we shouldn't. Here's what we should do, is just as Peter and John did. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In other words, to bring hope and healing and wholeness, to bring the message that God loves everyone and has a plan for their life, a message that doesn't bring condemnation. In fact, John 3:17, which isn't quoted as much, says this, for Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world they might be saved. In other words, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And for those seeking Jesus, there definitely shouldn't be any condemnation, because why should there be any rules or regulations put upon a person outside of Christ? How can any of us, and I hear this over and over again, people are in church and I go up to them and say, hey, would you like to accept Jesus? And here's what they say often. Well, I got to clean up my life first. I got to stop doing this. I got to stop doing that. And I look at them and say, you know, if it's a brother, I say, brother. If it's a sister, I say, sister. I say, look, you'll never come in then. Because you can't change yourself permanently unless you let the presence of God change you. And so what we need to do as believers in Christ is to extend the hands of Jesus with no condemnation, no judgment, none of those things, but rather realizing that you and I were once at the receiving hand of Jesus. See, all of us were the one outside the gate, outside the temple door on the side of the road. Now, we may not have been crippled physically, but can I tell you, we were hurt, we were broken, we were bruised, we had issues. and someone reached out to you. And that needs to be our heart to remind ourselves that that's the way it needs to be. That now the roles have changed. And you and I are the hands and feet and the mouth of Jesus. And to extend that hand and mouth and heart out to them to whatever their need is. Because you and I were once them. We were once the lame person at the gate. There's a story circulating on the news now about a young lady, 15 years old. And most of you maybe have heard the story. Her name is Clara Daly. Now this young lady, just an ordinary kid. She was with her mom on a flight from Massachusetts to head back home to California. So what is that, about a 4 or 5 hour flight? You know, so she's on the plane, just minding her own business. And on the intercom, there's an announcement saying, hey, is there anyone that knows American Sign Language? And this girl, now, I want you to understand something. This girl was no ordinary girl. She had serious issues with dyslexia. So she couldn't read very well. She couldn't do math very well because her numbers would get swapped and her letters would get swapped. Yet she made a decision in her heart that she wanted to learn American Sign Language. So she had spent a year learning it. And it was difficult because she had to get past that dyslexia thing and try to do it. Yet she made a decision instead of being a have-not to be a have. You hear what I'm saying? And so this announcement comes. So she had been doing that for a year. So this announcement comes on the PA. Hey, we need somebody. We have a person who is both blind and deaf on this flight. And they're very agitated, and we have no way to talk to them. So does anyone know a way to communicate with this man? And so this young girl says, well, yeah, I can do finger alphabet on his hands. I did that. I learned that. So she pushes the little call button because, you know, she kind of watched to see if anyone else was figuring, look, I'm the little fish in the big pond. Someone else here has got to be better than me. No one responds. So after a little while, she pushes the button, and the stewardess comes back and says, can I help you? He says, well, you know, you just made this announcement. I said, yeah, I think I can help. So she goes up and begins to talk to this guy. I'm all choked up just thinking about this. You know, this guy, picture it. He's in a realm. Here we are. You can hear me. You can see what's going on. Imagine you sitting here. You're both deaf and blind, and you have no clue what's going on around you. No idea. Can't see. You can't hear. I can't imagine. He's trapped in his own little world. And so this girl comes and grabs his hand and begins to sign on his hand. Says, you know what her name is. Finds out that his name is Tim Cook. That's who he is. And she said, how can I help you? And so he needed a glass of water. That was all he was agitated by. He just wanted a drink of water. So they got a drink of water and gave it to him. And so he had that. And for the next several hours, they just conversed back and forth. So here's this young lady, 15-year-old kid, just an ordinary person with dyslexia, issues in her own life, but reaching beyond the borders of her issues to help someone who had much greater issues. Can I tell you, there's not a person here that isn't capable of reaching out and touching someone around them. You know, so often we get fixated on our problems. Let me tell you something. No matter how good your life gets, you will still have some issues. It's just the way it is. You're living between the trees. Now, one day, when we are in glory, there'll be no more tears. No more weeping. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more hot days like this, at least for guys like me and for most of you here. And the point is, we'll have that day, but that's then. This is now. And so one of the most important words I want to encourage you with is this. Get beyond yourself. See what God can do with what you do have and allow him to do some miracles in your life. Let me read this final scripture to you. Psalms 1. See, I'm going to show you something that may scare you a little bit. Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man, or the people, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So this is just talking about a person who's trying to follow Jesus. That's really what this is talking about. You know, to be righteous means to be right standing. Just a person who wants to follow God. Now, this next verse says who that person is. Look at this. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. See, I was speaking about a tree that's in the garden, the tree of life. And I was speaking about a tree that's in the book of Revelation at the end of time. But right now, amongst the trees, you are the tree. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives inside of you. And as a born-again, Spirit-filled believer, you are our representative here in this imperfect world of a perfect God. That's the way it's supposed to be. And so as you walk and live, as you go to work, as you go to school, as you're at home, as you're with friends, as you're recreating, your job and mine is to be a tree of life to those around us. Whether it's helping someone with sign language because they're deaf and blind, or whether someone just needs prayer because they're sick, or someone that maybe needs a couple bucks because they're in a low place in their life, or a basket of food, or a bunch of groceries, maybe more than a basket. You know, maybe their cars broke down and they need help with that. Whatever their need is, that you can get beyond yourself because you are that tree of righteousness. You and I represent the Lord Jesus Christ in this time between the trees. That's who we are. And the question is, are you willing to rise up and see yourself as that? Because so often, because things have happened in our lives, we kind of have this victim mentality. I've been there, so I'm talking to myself too. You know, oh, this is going wrong, and this. And it's hard to get up beyond that and see that, no, we're called to be on top and not the bottom, be overcomers. That's what God wants us to be. The question is, in the midst of adversity, can you still push? You know, it's interesting about trees. NASA, a number of years ago, they made this giant dome, and they put these trees in it. And the idea was to make a self-sustaining environment for to test it, you know, for astronauts, for people going, you know, to the moon and to Mars and future events. And so here's what happened, though. It was really interesting. After a couple of years, the trees that were in the dome fell over. They're growing, and they were giving them fertilizer. They were giving them everything they needed, but the trees just fell over. And they had to call scientists in to say, what the heck is, you know, we did everything we're supposed to do here. What's going on? Do you know what they found out the problem was? There was no wind. The wind causes the roots of a tree to grow. As the wind pushes back and forth on a tree, it causes the roots to go out and get buried deeper to push against the resistance of the wind. But because there was no wind in the dome, the trees literally just fell over. In other words, you and I need resistance to grow. Now, you might not want to hear that. You're like, no, I just want all my problems to go away. No, your problems cause you to push and to overcome. That's the heart of God. That's what God wants you and I to do. And as trees, if we're compared to trees, I just showed it to you in Psalms 1, then resistance is part of our daily walk in this world. And it's okay. In other words, don't condemn yourself when you have issues. Welcome to the club. In fact, let me take a survey right now. Does anyone here have a perfect life? Just put your hand up. Because I'd have you come down here and share with us how you got to that. There's not one hand up. I'm see all of you. My point is, all of us have issues of resistance, problems, situations. Some of them we caused ourselves, let's be honest. Some of them people around us, sometimes just circumstance of life. Sometimes just because we live in a fallen world. But regardless of that, there are issues that are pushing against us. But are you willing to see that resistance as an opportunity to cry out to God, to ask for wisdom, to push through and get to the other side and have victory? So that when you see that hurting person near you that's maybe is going through the same thing that you've overcome, you then can reach out the hand of love to them and say, hey, let me help you today. I've been where you're at. See, that's why I believe God allows us to go through difficulties, so that we can have compassion towards those around us. Because if you overcame in everything area of your life, you know how you treat everyone around you? Let me tell you how I would treat them. I'd say, get over it. Come on, what's your problem? Isn't that what you'd say? If every sin, every temptation, everything was just that easy to overcome, you'd just say, just get over it. But because we've struggled, because we've got difficulties, because we still have difficulties, then it gives us the compassion and the mercy and the grace to say, let me help you. I've been where you are, and I still got some issues, but let me help you here. You know, I got a hand here that I can lift you up. And that's how we need to be in our walk with the Lord. Amen? So yeah, it's a little hot today, but we will resist and overcome. There's cold temperatures inside that room in there. It's all good. Amen? So I just encourage you with that. Now, there are two groups of people here today. There are those that connect, in a sense, with Peter and John. You know, they're in a place of walking in victory with the Lord. They, you know, if you look at Peter and John's life, they still had some things going on in their life. But they were walking in victory. And they were able to reach their hands out and help others. And so that represents people here. But then there's some of us here that actually connected more with the lame guy at the gate. In In other words, we feel that we can enter in. We feel that there's so much wrong with us, that God wouldn't want us, that you know, there's so many issues in my life. It's just too much. And we're holding our hand out for help. I want to tell you that regardless of which place you're in, it's okay. God wants to help you in either place. It's really important for you to realize this, because there are some that believe that because of where they're at in their life, that they can't enter into the presence of God. Let me tell you something. It's the presence of God that will help you. When Peter touched that man, it said strength went into his bones and he jumped up. That's the presence of God. That's the real power of Jesus. Yet if we have an Old Testament mentality, it would be, no, you can't come in until you're healed. Doesn't work that way. God wants everyone into his kingdom. Amen. Just like to ask every head bowed and every eye closed just for a minute. Lord, in a few minutes, we're going to close out the meeting. And Lord God, move on to the next phase of satisfying our natural stomachs, Lord God. But Lord God, right now, I'm more concerned about our spirit beings, our souls. And so, Father, right now, I lift up every person here. And Lord, I don't know everyone here. I know a lot of people here, but I don't know everyone here. But you know everyone. You know where they are in their spiritual journey with you. And so, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, that you would encourage them. If they're a Peter and John, if they're able to hold out hands right now and help others, bless them. And bless them more so they can do more outreach, Lord God. Whether to their families or to those at work, to those at school, to those at home. Lord God, just infuse them with more of you in Jesus' name. But Lord, I pray to the other group of people here that are holding out hands as well. But they need help. It's a hand of help. They're saying, please, I need help. And Lord God, I thank you that your word says in Romans 10:13 that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, or in other words, is rescued, helped. And so, Lord, I lift up their needs to you right now. And I pray that even as we fellowship together and eat together, Lord God, that there can be a connection between those that are holding out hands of help and those that are holding out hands in need. That there can be a connection made, that every need will be met according to your riches and glory, which are in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We ask you to bless every individual here, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.